Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Welcome to Cookie Off 2, featuring the defending champ, Gabe Kapler, first baseman, Kevin Youkilis, yours truly, and the Red Sox lunch lady. Sounds simple, right? But wait, controversy before we even get the contest started, as the lunch lady's stirring things up.
The lunch lady's a cheater.
How do you respond, cheater?
I say let the people decide.
Holy Kapler.
Oh, you smell delicious. Come to Papa.
Morning, Mike. This is the second annual. Welcome. And what would a Red Sox cookie off be without an appearance by the newest Sox sensation? Hey, we want some birthday cake. Hey, we want some red balloons. Hey, we want shenanigans. Hey, we want a can of squirt. I like bowling.
Good morning, everybody. We're the Touch and Rich radio program.
Did you hear how happy he sounded? Like, that might be his favorite. That might be his favorite thing that he's ever done.
Was, hey, we want some birthday cake?
No. The cookie off. When he used to do the cookie off at spring training with Dan Roach would go and, along with Gabe Kapler, who was his buddy at the time, they would go around and judge people's cookies in the locker room.
Because that was like Dan's sweet spot. Like, I love the ball players.
Right. I'm palling around with them.
I love cutting loose and just being silly.
There's guys I'm legitimately friends. Like, he even got Bronson Arroyo to do, like, a C is for Cookie song. And so he was like, man, all these guys, they're being, like, real cool. They're my pals. And the best is that I was watching that this morning. And there's a clip, you know, that clip, I cut it off right before it went to it, because it says here, and what would a cookie off be without the new sensation on the Red Sox? And it's Josh Beckett, and Josh Beckett shows up and just, like, walks over to the cookie table and looks around like, what the hell's happening?
Yeah.
What are we doing? And they give him a cookie, and he eats it, and he doesn't say a word, and just kind of looks down and just, like, walks away. And, like, Dan Roach is enthralled by it. Like, Beckett wants nothing to do with any of this. And he just, he's like, all right, I'm pretty much done.
Kind of a lot like Beckett's career. Wanted nothing to do with anything having to do with the media at all.
Except so, winning and kicking ass.
People always remember 2007.
Beckett's the one that Hardy busted for playing golf, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yep. Okay, yes. That's right. We all remember that story. I mean, that kind of blew up, and that was the my off days, do whatever I want with them.
Yep.
That's right. I forgot that was Hardy,
yep,
who knew somebody who was working at the golf course, and they said, hey, I know that Beckett's not been playing because he's had back problems. Well, he's out here flinging a club around.
Yeah.
So, and that became a thing. But that is Dan's happy spot. You're right. That is right when he was friends with the most players, probably at any given time, and they were like, we'll do anything for you, Danny.
That's like Crash when he does now the traffic, and they like go, like, hey, dress as Spider-Man. And he's like, oh, okay.
If you really want me to, yeah.
He's like, I'm a silly goose. Okay. So that is all going on. You gentlemen get to go on vacation. This is your last day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't come soon enough.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Get a big vacation. I do not. But I do have some information regarding the future of LeBron James.
This is information that has not been released at this point?
Yes.
Do we need a breaking news sounder?
No.
Okay.
But I will, because I can't trust Entercom to get any of my passwords, I will look here.
Over your phone? Okay, so because yesterday there was once again a ton of rumors and innuendo and things that have been thrown around. We'll get into a lot of that in a few. I mean, everything's tied in with Kawhi Leonard and the Celtics being tied in with Kawhi Leonard, and Wojnarowski's all over the place. He's just tweeting like a madman.
And LeBron has until 11:59 tonight to either opt in or out of his contract.
Which essentially means
that'll
nothing.
Be the first domino to fall.
Yeah.
This is Complex Magazine, who knows probably more than most people. If you're buying into the narrative that the King, who can officially become a free agent Friday, is taking his talents to Los Angeles, and that all other options are trash in comparison, slow your roll, there are a number of reasons why LeBron in Los Angeles does not make sense, some of which I outlined back in March when James made his second and last regular season appearance in L.A. Maybe the strongest argument for James not signing to the Lakers is an idea that's such a no-brainer it's easy to overlook. All credit goes to the star of Complex's Out of Bounds, Gilbert Arenas, who first blessed yours truly and a few others behind the scenes of the show with his theory on LeBron's impending free agency. Considering Arenas knows a thing or two about how the league really works, you should be paying attention. LeBron in Los Angeles, really the Lakers, because, come on, he ain't taking his talents to the Clippers, will not happen because it would be bad for the league. The league won't allow him to leave the East, says Arenas. If the villain or the hero of the East joins the West, it destroys the NBA. There's no reason to watch the Eastern Conference at that point. The whole East Coast basketball vibe is done. Can the league really prevent LeBron from going West? No, it cannot. But they can twist his arm, plead, persuade, prod, even bitch and moan, and talk all that slick talk to convince him to stay in the East, sure. And they should, because competitively speaking, the NBA has been in balance for years, arguably decades, since the last days of Michael Jordan's run with the Bulls. The Western Conference holds 9 of the game's top 10 players. The 2 best teams by far reside out West. The league revamped the All-Star game partly because the talent discrepancy between the two conferences isn't so much a gap as it is a gigantic chasm. So would it really be good for the game if LeBron ends up with the Lakers and the Western Conference tips the scales of dominance to a degree we haven't seen in the modern NBA?
Okay, that's all well and good. But how is the league going to stop LeBron James from doing what he wants to do in free agency?
Sure, you can fight me on the argument that LeBron is playing the second biggest media market in the country and headlining Showtime's revival in the Staples Center, and that would actually be awesome for the league. Among the most storied franchises in basketball, the Lakers have stalled out, trying to rebuild over the past 5 seasons. Their return to prominence featuring LeBron undoubtedly would be huge for the league, blah, 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 blah. Does the league really need it? Does the league really want it?
Does he say how they would stop it?
Yes. It shouldn't be because LeBron is taking his talents to the City Angels would make the Eastern Conference already the Western Conference's ugly stepsister borderline irrelevant. Your argument that up-and-coming teams in Boston and Philadelphia could carry the torch in LeBron's absence sounds cute and all, but they pale in comparison to the number of eyeballs LeBron brings, whether it's regular season or, more importantly, the postseason. When the overall health of the league is dependent on TV ratings and attention, what would be the point of paying attention to an Eastern Conference void of any superstars that the fans give an S about? Maybe check back in during the Eastern Conference Finals before either Philly or Boston gets washed into finals by the Warriors, Rockets, or LeBron's Lakers. If you think Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum are really moving the needle, or Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, that deserves some hardware. Then here's Arenas again. You're going to take the best player on the planet out of the East and put him in the West. As the commissioner, I'm going to beg him, please do not leave the East, says Arenas. I don't give an F what team you pick, just don't leave the Eastern Conference. And
the way he thinks he's going to prevent it is the commissioner's going to call him and say, please don't do it.
They're going to do everything they can to have LeBron not leave the East.
There's nothing they can do.
Well, they can certainly try to control him, and Gilbert Arenas thinks that, or contends.
I mean, I understand
his
point.
Who knows more about any of this than any of you me?
No, I understand.
He says this has happened before.
Okay.
And that the league will cajole and try and beg him and say, for the health of the league, will you please stay in the East? We can't afford you going out West. It will ruin the league. And he's right. I mean, if LeBron leaves the East, there's nothing.
Yeah, I know. And for a Celtics fan, you kind of like that. But right. Well, but you're right. But I mean, I understand what he's saying. But okay, so LeBron James, what he's saying is that if Adam Silver was to give him a call and say, please, LeBron, do not leave the East. It would ruin the East. He's looking at Cleveland going, all right, well, we're hamstrung as far as our
doesn't
payroll
mean
is
that.
Concerned.
It means that he could go to Boston. He could go to Philadelphia. He could go to any team in the East.
He's not going to go to Boston. We know that.
Fine. Then he could go to Philadelphia. The point being that Arenas says that this has happened before and that the league gets involved. And, you know, they technically can't do anything, but they can sweeten things and beg players to stay in a conference. And Gilbert Arenas says it's happened before.
I'm trying to think of a situation where you had a free agent this big stay, like go completely against what everyone thought he was going to do because the league might have stepped in. I'm honestly trying to rack my brain thinking of a case where that happened.
I can't think of one. Obviously, the thing where the NBA stepped in was that Chris Paul trade 5 years ago,
yeah,
or however long it was.
Yeah, but that was had two a deal Western done. Conference teams, though.
I know. And again, this isn't a perfect fit.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no perfect fit for this argument. It was a deal that was done to the Lakers, I believe.
It
right?
was. It was supposed to be the trade that went from the Hornets at the time, the New Orleans Hornets, to the Lakers, and it ended up getting shot down.
But the difference was,
figure out why.
Well, the difference was the Hornets were in bankruptcy, and the NBA essentially was running the team.
Yep,
and
that's right.
That's why the NBA. I mean, they had the deal done, and then David Stern stepped in and goes, "Nope,
not going to happen.
Nope, we're running this team. We don't want Paul to go to the Lakers."
Well, the idea is not that they would block LeBron, but they would cajole him to do the same.
And to that, I would say that LeBron is at this point where he doesn't care. He's going to play where he wants to play.
Then you can talk to Gilbert Arenas, because Gilbert Arenas believes that that's the way the league operates and says that there's a conspiracy out there and that's the way that the league runs.
This is the reason why the NBA is great right now, because there are so many different layers to this. There are so everyone
has
an opinion.
They're all connected,
and all of these theories are plausible. All of them are. I mean, the Gilbert Arenas thing is certainly plausible because he's right. If LeBron goes west, I mean, you'd have to trade Kawhi Leonard to Philadelphia to make anything.
You have no star in the East.
You'd have Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Kawhi Leonard if he's traded there. But who else?
Kyle Lowry,
DeMar DeRozan.
In the East, you've got the Celtics and you've got Joel Embiid.
And then you have
There's your stars. Yeah. There's your Eastern stars.
And no one's going to care about either of those teams.
Oh, the Celtics, they will. And I'm not just saying that because we're from here. That's Kyrie Irving. Wants to see Hayward.
Everyone wants to see Hayward.
Look at the sales. Look at the jersey sales from the end of last year. The number three team was the Celtics. Heck, Jason Tatum was the number
seven
highest selling jersey.
Kyrie Irving
was number three.
Yeah, because everyone already has a Durant and Curry.
Well,
jersey.
Kyrie was
it's
three.
The Uncle Drew thing. That's what got Kyrie third.
That's right.
The Uncle Drew thing.
That's right.
Yep.
But it's true.
No
I mean,
one's
it's
going to care about the East at all.
The ratings
the
for
teams.
The Celtics games were amongst the highest in the finals
or
the playoffs. So, I mean, you can't write them off as saying nobody cares.
No one's going to care about the East. No one's going to care.
Relatively speaking, people will care about the Celtics when you watch Eastern Conference games, but obviously the big stars are out West.
Yep. I mean, it's true.
I mean, no one's going to care about the Celtics nationally.
That's just not true, and the ratings say otherwise. The ratings, the sales, the jersey sales. I mean, it's that's
people
not true.
People care about the Celtics because the Celtics are the best team in the East. Say, okay, which Eastern Conference
they're one of the
team
best
is going to
win the NBA?
They're going to win 60 games next year.
68.
I agree.
68.
I'm sorry.
If LeBron's gone, 68. That was the number we came upon?
No. You said 75 at first.
No, I never said 75.
For the NBA if they go and the star power is entirely out West. And if you want to tell me Gordon Hayward is a factor, you're out of
your
mind.
Well, Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum. I mean, these are people who sell jerseys. And there's the rating. Fred, just look at the playoffs. And the ratings for the Celtics games are amongst the highest.
Jason Tatum is not a star in the NBA.
Number 9 or number 7 highest selling jersey last year.
Fine, because Celtics fans, no one had a Jason Tatum jersey, and they all wanted to buy it.
Kyrie was number 3.
Kyrie Irving is a star
in
the NBA.
Yes, absolutely, and you're proving my point.
No, I'm not. I'm saying they have one star. The Celtics have one star. And then Embiid, maybe, and that's it in the East. And then in the West, you have a trillion stars. So, I mean, it speaks for itself. Listen, I'm just telling you what Gilbert Arenas says, and he knows far more than you guys. And so that's his take.
Well, Wojnarowski says otherwise, and so do most reporters. So, I mean, it's...
Well, Wojnarowski certainly, you know, is a barnacle on him. But they also didn't know about that rule.
The Rose Rule.
The Rose Rule. So there you go. All right. Well, I suppose talk about the Red Sox, who plugging along.
At least this weekend will be interesting with the Red Sox.
Yes. Yes. It will be. It will be.
They play in the stadium.
They do,
as John says.
Yes, the stadium.
Much to the annoyance of many of the listeners.
No, the listeners got annoyed when I kept saying new stadium.
Oh,
now I've dropped that.
It's
and everyone's off my back.
Yeah, you got to drop that. I mean, come on, you're out of your mind with that.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what happened last evening? The ding-dong?
Yep, the Red Sox deliver a season sweep with extra salami.
Tomahawked into right deep.
Oh, Tomahawk. Oh!
Two-run home for JBJ.
Oh, salami.
It was an absolute laser beam.
JBJ.
His sixth home run of the season.
Touch them all! Boom, 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 boom. Touch home or don't count. Aha! I'm appealing to third. Don't bother. JBJ touched it. Bagoo!
What?
Bagoo indeed. That is Nesson.
Challenge third. I mean, you can make it. What do you know? You don't know that?
No, Bagoo. The last part of it.
Bagoo.
The Bagoo is what confused
Bagoo!
Me.
Bagoo! Whee!
That's fun.
Well, Jackie Bradley Jr. have a week. It might only be 1 week,
well,
but it's been a damn good one.
201?
Hey, listen, it's been a good week.
Woo-hoo.
So there you go. That's the highlight so far of his season. He belts a two-runner, and the Red Sox are smooth sailing out of the second half of the season. 4-2, the final score against the Angels.
202, Fred.
Is
it 202 now?
202. Okay.
2 points up from yesterday.
Yeah, 1-for-3. So, 202.
All right. Okay. 2 points from yesterday.
How about that? Well, with Stephen Wright on the disabled list, Brian Johnson of AC/DC and Scally Cap fame got the start.
I'm too deaf to sing!
And it was fine, except for a lone dinger he gave up in the fourth, and that was a real ball breaker.
I was throwing big balls, and they powerized one. Oh,
that's impressive right there. That was really impressive.
Who made who after all? And once again, Joe Kelly did what Joe Kelly does with a three-run. I mean, this is just...
I'm throwing things at the TV. Just get him out of there.
It was awful. If he hadn't gotten in that fight, wouldn't Red Sox fans just hate this guy?
Yes.
Yeah, but he got
my dirty deeds. We're done to
Jesus. Brian Johnson's off the mound at this point, okay? Yeah. He's not even on
there. I'm on the mound in the clubhouse. Okay.
If you know what I mean by mound, there's
mound.
Two of them. I mean breasts.
I was thinking more like vagina.
Oh, okay, I guess so.
I get it now.
A chunk to hell.
That is AC/DC. Brian Johnson, very literal with that description right there.
I'm not bald. I have a scally cap.
Yes, you do have a scally cap, and you're deaf. So with a 3-run lead in the eighth, when he went in, Joe Kelly, he made it a 2-run lead real quick. And if it wasn't for Benintendi absolutely saving his ass at the warning track, there would have been
Betts made
runs.
A good play, too. It was back-to-back hitters, first and second, nobody out. You've already given up one run. Betts on the way in, and then Benintendi with a great catch on the way out. So.
Yeah. Great catch.
Yes, it was a great catch, Brian Johnson. Well, thank goodness for Craig Kimbrell, who picked up his 24th save of the season, striking out Mike Trout to end the game. And that was that. Here is Alex Cora afterwards.
I did an outstanding job. We got to where we wanted to get. Work did a good job. Joe battled through it in the eighth, and Kimbrell closed it down. But VJ was outstanding, using his fastball, mixing up his breaking ball. Very pleased with the way we got 6 in out of those two guys, so that was good.
Also, yes.
Dirty deeds! Done! Very cheaply.
Don't know what that has to do with the Red Sox at all, Brian
because
Johnson.
Because he did a dirty deed. He got out. He's a knuckle scraper.
What? I don't think that's one of their songs.
What? No, he got dirty in his hands.
Ah.
Okay.
And does it for cheap.
Just yell balls.
He's got big balls. Come on.
That's all you really have to do. Anything have you... It's some sort
Bob
of euphemism.
Scott, I just watched half a concert on YouTube. Not good.
Bon Scott?
looked like he was going to die at any moment.
Yeah, well, that's the truth. But you sound a little jealous there, Brian Johnson of the Red Sox.
Well, I did Back in Black.
Okay, well, Back in Black is an excellent album. Front to back, it is. So also yesterday, the Sox acquired veteran first baseman and outfielder Steve Pierce, not to be confused with Stephen Piercy of Rat, in a trade with the Toronto Blue Jays while we're doing hair. While we're doing, like, 80s rock.
I keep going round and round.
There you go. I like it. Around the bases. Pierce is 30.
I suppose I've been a wanted man.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good. And when you listen, once you hit that ball, you take your bat and you lay it down as you run the base.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. See, here we go. Well, Pierce is 35.
Milton Burrow's son represented us.
Yes, he did. He hit .291, which makes him a way cool junior with 4 home runs, 16 RBIs, and 26 games for Toronto this season. Boy, was that even a hit? I don't know.
It's all right. I got the reference. That's all that matters.
How about I read Stephen Pierce's book?
Is that the one you said that was like done with a stapler?
No.
That's the drummer of
Rat. That was Blotzer.
That was Bobby Blotzer.
Okay.
He had a publisher, but all it was like... Once he turns 40, he goes. Like, yeah. I used to go to a Mexican restaurant and get drunk.
Hey, that sounds like a fairly depressing ending to quite the Steve
career.
I broke
my leg when I was a kid, and I just started doing
heroin. Okay, well, thank you. Steve Pierce, age 35, now in the Red Sox. Going to bust this team right open. Well, here is Dave Dombrowski on the situation.
We're going to start off a little curve tonight. We're announcing the acquisition of first baseman outfielder Steve Pierce from the Toronto Blue Jays organization and cash consideration for infielder Santiago Espinal. And we're happy to have Steve join us. He's a proven major league player, very quality right-handed hitter, hits left-hand pitching very well. Type of guy that we've been looking if we could find to add that we think adds to lineup versus left-handers.
I think every soundbite sounds better with Rat in the background.
I have no problem with this. Mm-hmm. This is great.
Well, now that they got Steven Pierce, maybe they'll have a golden earring radar love situation.
What?
Pierce golden earring?
Because it's a pierced ear? Oh, boy. Is that what we're doing?
Radar love. Because he hits that radar gun.
I guess so.
Oh, Nelly.
How does Alex Cora sound with a little Rat in the background? Let's see. Oh, I told you I'd have it. Which one is this?
Way Cool Junior.
See, you even know that.
No, he's saying that because he just said it. He didn't know this.
This is when they went DeMartini, just go blues on the people. Hey, 18 to 34 audience. Really up your alley.
That's right. We already got a million of them.
Very pleased with the way we got 6 in out of those 2 guys.
Oh, yeah. New kid in town. He's got fancy clothes.
I can't believe
we've given up.
No, this album was good. This was Reach for the Sky, I believe.
Well, that was the third one.
In this town.
No, Dance of the Cover is the third one.
I'm doing heroin till I end up in the ground. Come on. Robin Crosby got AIDS.
He did. I mean, unfortunately, it was very sad death that he had there.
It was so sad.
Couldn't get over it. Well, he was the sound of Rat. The way he was buried in the mix. They just said, turn that guy down.
They said, he's tall.
He's tall, so put him in the band. I want to only hear Warren DeMartini. Just bury this guy in the mix.
Well, listen, there's a lot of controversy around who's Rat now.
You can tell it's the final day before vacation. We have a little bit...
Not for me.
Yeah, I know. But by the way, things get fun tonight. As I was mentioning, the Red Sox have a 1-game lead in the AL East. They now head to the Bronx tonight to start a 3-game series with the second-place Yankees in the stadium. See, this I'm looking forward to. I actually look forward to this
one. It's a Friday night. You're not watching.
I'm not going to watch tonight, but I'll watch tomorrow night. First pitch is at 7:05. And after John Wallach's headlines, there is a little bit of news regarding the Bruins and their pursuit of John Tavares.
I'm looking forward to that.
So we'll get to that. Also, some other Bruins news involving one of their other players on the team and his future.
All right. Looking forward to hearing all about that. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what the heck is going on in these parts?
If you believe what Joe Haggerty's throwing out there as of early this morning, that is that maybe, just maybe, there will be breaking news during the Toucher and Rich show, which, of course, chances are usually slim to nil. It's 10:01. Yeah. You can almost set your watch to it. That's when most of the news breaks. Either way, Joe Haggerty tweeted last night, the signs aren't pointing to anything encouraging on the John Tavares watch. I'm afraid to say nothing confirmed at this late hour, but we may know in the morning. So it sounds like today, actually this morning rather, might be when John Tavares finally makes his decision. I read something yesterday that it seems to be down to Toronto and San Jose, that one team that keeps lingering in there that we still can't figure out why he would go there.
Okay, so in my opinion, and it's just educated based on things that I've read and what I believe is fits, is that I would imagine that it's down to the Islanders and the Bruins, is what I would imagine. But
oh, I'm sorry, and the Islanders. I'm talking outside of the Islanders, which seems to be the favorites.
The Islanders are the favorite.
Yeah, they are the favorite. But the other two are the ones that he's deeply considering. I've heard nothing encouraging about the Bruins. There's been silence as far as they're concerned.
I keep reading that Babcock was a major turnoff for him. I mean, he sat in the same room with Babcock and watched him talk, you know, talk at him for 25 minutes. And Tavares like, I can't play for this guy.
How does that get out?
Well, like, Babcock couldn't get free agents to go to Detroit. Babcock is extremely
Canadian.
Yes.
Grating.
You hear him speak.
Grating is a good word.
No one sounds more Canadian.
But he's a very much a know-it-all. He's dismissive of his veteran players. He pushes them in ways that they don't enjoy. So if you're pitching him to Toronto, you're pitching him a couple things that I wouldn't like if I'm him. A, Babcock. B, that I don't know how long you can keep this core together because you have to pay, your young stars and you're not getting rid of them. The Bruins have the money. They have the young organizational depth and they have their core. And I mean, in the idea that Tavares couldn't play in Boston because it would be under too much scrutiny. Well, you're going to Toronto. I mean, there's no more scrutiny in the league.
This is a hockey town, too. I mean, fans are very loyal to this team. The Bruins, I'm saying. Very loyal. Now, again, Toronto's a different universe, but he grew up there. Tavares theoretically would know what he would be stepping into anyway. So, I mean,
But I've heard, like, all this stuff that Tavares is a low-key guy and he doesn't like any of this, but he wants to play in a situation where he's not the man. And if you come to Boston, you're not the man. I mean, they have two guys in place that are one legend and another guy on his way there, and then a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, you have an all-time great Bruin, you have a Hall of Fame defenseman, and you have a guy working his way up into an all-time Bruin. And, by the way, a young core, including two guys in their early 20s that are going to be superstars. So I don't really understand why he would not come here. It doesn't make any sense. And out of the teams, let's think, say take Nashville off the table, out of the rest of the teams, his best chance to win is here.
Well, I mean, Tampa.
I don't know.
Although that seems to be out of the running.
Tampa, honest to God. Yeah, obviously, they have a plan in place. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten a seat at the table. But they're going to have to really rearrange things
to get
him there.
Everything with Tampa that I've heard is just based on his relationship with Stamkos, which you can't. I mean, you're not signing with a team because you like a guy. So, Tampa's a good place to win. But I'm thinking that I would think the Bruins are second. Next is staying with the Islanders, but
common sense says that, but no reports do.
I've yet to get a good explanation as to why the Bruins were a long shot. I still have not heard a good reason why the Bruins were a long shot.
Same with me. I have no idea. Because all of the arguments are counterintuitive if he wants to go to Toronto.
Tavares has to make a choice. This is his last contract of any substance. Yes. Maybe he plays until he's 40 and signs a succession of one-year deals.
This is it.
Have to decide whether or not you want to win. If you go back to the island, that's fine. It's familiar to you, but they're not going to win anytime soon.
Well, there was someone on Felger and Maz, that the guy that was doing updates, and he was saying that Tavares is a luxury pick. And they didn't want them to get Tavares. And to that, I would say,
are you insane?
That he's one of the best players in the NHL. Yeah, it's a bit of a luxury to get someone who's great.
Yeah, who's 27. I mean, most times you get guys like this when they're 31 or 32.
Like, you need a second top line defenseman, and you're like, no, you don't. You need Tavares, and everything else works its way out. I mean, if you get Tavares, you arguably could have the best line in the NHL right now, and you don't interrupt that. And then you have a second line that's up there with anyone else in the NHL.
You put DeBrusk on a wing with Tavares. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Yes.
So
yes.
You
can put anyone out there.
I keep coming back to it. If Tavares goes back to the island, I will question his motives. I will question a guy's motives.
He likes it there. He's loyal there.
Fine.
And he gets an extra year.
Great.
You know, I mean, it's like...
Yeah, all of that's great. But if you play in one place till you're 35 instead of your 34... I don't see the wisdom if you're not going to win in any of those 7 years.
It's just, I think that I would not look down on him for being loyal to the organization.
I'm not looking down on him. I'm questioning whether or not he really wants a Stanley Cup.
Okay, so I'm really interested in this, actually. So, like, why San Jose? I understand San Jose can win, but why go to a team out there randomly, like San Jose?
Don't they have a ton of room? So
yes,
maybe they sat down with them.
In defense and actually, none of their money's in goaltending. Money's on defense.
Maybe they sat down with them and with a plan that says, with all of this money, here's what we're going to do, and here's some guys we're thinking about surrounding you with.
You have to, and
I think that maybe, because he's going to be someone who they're going to take his input. Like, you'll say, I sign with you, but here's some things that I want, some players that I'm interested in. Maybe that's the promise. And that's the only selling point that I can think of, is just because with all of that room, it's almost like he kind of gets to have a little bit of say, and he can hold them hostage as the decision-making process to fill those holes.
And that's probably true, and that's a good point. But Tavares is not LeBron James.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm not letting him come in.
But he's also the guy this offseason. You know, that's
he's one of the top players in the NHL, and I can understand if you want him. But if you go to the Bruins,
you have a chance to win right away.
And you're probably for the best team in the East. Well, and then during your 7 year run, I mean, the Bruins are stacked. They have so many prospects. They got to start dumping them.
Right, and you are a threat to win, you figure, until Bergeron finally gets old enough. What is it? He's got about 3 or 4 more years left in that window. You're a threat to win a cup for 3 or 4 years.
No, and then, John, I would argue that there's enough depth in the organization that they could... I think that they have a 10-year window. I mean, there's depth. I mean, they have so much depth in the minors.
I worry about depth at forward. Depth on defense, I'm not worried about. I worry about depth at forward.
Fair enough, but I think that you can turn a lot of that...
And the whole Rask thing.
I mean, they're grooming people, but you have so much depth defensively that you almost have to start moving defensemen.
Yes.
And to get forward.
They just signed another kid, apparently the best defenseman at Quebec Major Junior. They just signed him. A Montreal native, it was considered he was a lock to go to the Canadiens, decided to sign with the Bruins.
But he got to go to the Red Sox game.
There you go.
By the way, and James Stewart actually tweeted this to me a second ago, but this is something that I heard yesterday, and it's kind of shocking. We're talking about the amount of money that he could make with all the taxes and the incentives to go into a place like Dallas or even Florida because of the amount of money he'll be able to save on no state tax. Well, somebody broke down the total amount of money that he would be bringing home if he made $11 million a year on average for 7 years. And it's kind of shocking. So Tampa Bay and Dallas, both of them would be $53 million total. That's what he'd be taking home when you take away the taxes. Boston's not far off. Boston's third with $49 million. The Islanders, at 8 years, he'd be making $46 million, which, once again, he gets an extra year of that. But then it drops pretty far. Toronto, $40 million is what he'd be taking home. And how about this? I guess it's because California, it's so outrageous.
13% state tax.
I thought Canada was going to be so much more than anywhere in the United States. But it's not.
That's a
conversion rate, Canadian dollar against the U.S. dollar.
Yeah. So San Jose actually has the worst payday for him, where if he was making $11 million a year, for $77 million, He's only taken home $38 million of that.
Another reason. I mean, you list the top three teams in take-home. The Bruins are better than the other two. I mean, it just another reason why you would go to the Bruins over any of these other teams.
Well, they're the best one that doesn't have that has state tax. They're the best team as far as the most money you're going to make outside of Dallas and Tampa Bay who don't have state tax.
But in fairness, I don't think that you get paid that way in the NHL. But regardless... I'm sure that you do make out better. I certainly don't want to play. I think it's 13.5% state tax in California.
By the way, we have a slight bit of breaking news after the break. It seems like Rob Gronkowski is weighing in on Tom Brady's eating habits that we learned about yesterday.
All right.
We might have
bottom feeder?
Listen, that's what some people call it. Isn't that right, Stephen A. Smith?
Yes. All right. We will have that for you.
Talking about Pats, Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Revolution, 98.5, The Sports Hub. We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go. .985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, yesterday, we, much to the dismay of our audience, Barstool Sports put out a National Geographic-esque photo of a hippo having some fun on the back end of a other hippo.
It was a hippo biting another one's rear end. His mouth was, it was like a human centipede situation. Yeah. His mouth was on the rear end.
I mean, I was trying to put it a little more delicately than that, but I mean, you are known as a shock jock.
That I am, but there was the picture and it's sitting there, and the quote was something like, what happens when Bay gets out of the shower, and then it said hashtag blank eating season. And underneath that was a comment by Tom Brady. And it said, yup, and it had three laughing emojis next to it.
Crying and, laughing.
Yeah, it was a crying laugh. Like tears out of his
like
eyes.
He was like, he couldn't control himself. Like, it was so funny.
Like, tell me about it. And so I first saw that. I'm like, this can't be real. So sure enough, I went there, and this would have been up for, I mean, almost like half a day. And I went, and I clicked on it, and sure enough, it was Tom Brady's official account. Now, he may have been hacked. But it was definitely his thing, and all I could say is, we learned a little something about.
There's a better bed to play, or not a better bed, but there's a better clip to play.
That'd be.
I'm a bottom feeder.
Well, of course. Well, what's that, Stephen Smith?
I'm a bottom feeder.
We do know that you are a bottom feeder. Yes, you are. As a matter of fact. So, if you had to guess. Which player on the New England Patriots would be the first to comment on Tom Brady's love of all things rear ends? Who would that be?
Well, I would guess that would be Rob Gronkowski.
That would be Rob Gronkowski. He has finally weighed in. The people over at TMZ saw him at LAX, so they had to ask him about that. And here is Rob Gronkowski on apparently the brand new love that Tom Brady has.
Did you know before this that Tom Brady was into that sort of stuff?
No. Wild man.
It's a wild man. Do you think it was cool of him to comment that, or like, because he knows everyone's going to find out about it? You know, like, these comments are public. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's great. You like seeing?
Oh my god, that's so funny, man. Like in the locker room, these, you know, the guys are going to give him crap about it, right?
Damn.
Will you have anything to say? You think?
Yeah.
If okay, last thing, man, I'll leave you alone. Right. Anything to say to Tom Brady about it all?
Yeah. I'm glad he likes it fresh.
Well, yeah, at least it's fresh.
All right.
I mean, I'm a bottom feeder.
I just like how he's straight up. It's just like, yeah, he likes blank and blank.
Yeah. Always ass.
You, Stephen A. Smith. I know you're a big fan.
Loves butts.
I'm a booty leg and hip man to the core.
Of course he is.
Booty leg and hip man to the core. You know what? There is got to be a freedom of being a young lady now, because you know the Baby Got Back song said, "Cosmo said you're fat, but I ain't down with that." He's going against convention.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if you're a young lady, eat what you want. The bigger your thighs, the bigger your ass.
Her body was in the bedroom.
but the booty was sticking outside.
A lot of times that would be considered disgustingly fat.
Not anymore.
But no, now it's just it's just nice for everybody.
I guess that I mean it's if it's good for Tom Brady, then it's good for everyone.
No, not for me.
I'm a bottom feeder.
I don't care how much you do. I mean,
that's the grossest term.
Off the air, I can tell you what would have to happen. It would have to be like an insanely attractive woman, and there would have to be a procedure before I would do it.
A procedure?
Yeah. Well, use your imagination. Okay. Tubing and water.
Okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
Okay, I understand, yes.
You get what I'm coming from?
Yeah, I get what you're doing.
You get what I'm putting down?
Yep, mm-hmm.